we're going to start with a little review. Going to head into the lesson now. We've been talking about dividing the events rightly. Events that occur mostly in Acts, where people seem to get mixed up about what's going on and who it involves. So we're looking at Acts 20 verse 12 to start with, just to remember where we left off from the last lesson. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. They were very comforted. In other words, this was Eutychus, and this was the only time that the Bible records that Paul spoke all night, preached all night long. And the person fell out the window. He fell asleep on the third floor and fell out the window, and Paul raised him back up, and they were happy to have him brought back to life. So then after that, Paul made his fifth visit to Jerusalem, came back from Troas. He had started back to Jerusalem, actually, but he had stopped at Troas and spoke all night. That was the first place he got to speak since the Lord had sent him to all people with the gospel of the grace of God, that by believing that Christ died for your sins and rose for your justification, you are saved. Not waiting to be saved, not hoping to stay saved, you are saved. So in Acts 21 verse 17, we find Paul going back to Jerusalem, and it reads, "And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly." So let's go on. We'll see now this. Paul has been saved. There are a lot of body of Christ events, but here is one Israel event that is interspersed among them. It's almost like you took two combs for your hair, two combs, and you put them facing each other so the teeth are facing each other, and you ram them together, bring them slowly together so that the teeth interdigitate, like if you folded your hands. And the fingers, one left hand, then next right hand, then, the finger from the left hand, then the finger from the right hand. It's hard to explain without video, but so let's look at what happens here in Acts 21, verse 20. Three verses further down after he got to Jerusalem. "And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe. And they're all zealous of the law." So Paul goes to the temple there, to the people in Jerusalem, and they're glad to see him. And they say, "Look at how big our church is. We still have thousands of people coming." Remember, they're in Acts 2. In Acts 4, there were 8,000 that came into the church, were added to the church that Christ started in Matthew 16:18. And it grew by leaps and bounds, and that was men. There were others too, the wives, some women. There were girls and boys, children that believed too. They just counted the men. I don't know why, but so there were still, by the time you got to Acts 21, there were still thousands in the church. It was diminishing though. And less people from apostate Israel were being, they were still being courted, but by God and by Paul specifically to come into the body of Christ, but it was less and less conducive for them to come in. I mean, by the time you get a chapter earlier than here in Acts 20 verse 6, Paul is sent to all people, and you've got people that don't care about the Sabbath believing that Christ died for their sins and meeting with Paul to hear the doctrine, hear the teaching and the preaching that's newly been revealed to him from Christ that became scripture. I mean, that's how we got our scripture. You can read what was revealed to Paul. It's in the Bible in Romans through Philemon. But less and less of the Jews were likely to come out of Judaism and believe the gospel Paul preached and come into the body of Christ as you go through Acts until you get to Acts 28, and they have no special standing at all, individuals even. Israel itself, the nation, lost its special standing in Acts 7. But then, according to Romans 11, verse 12, there is a diminishing of Israel that goes on through Acts until they're totally, I shouldn't say that, until they're blinded and cast away. No longer blinded in part. In Acts 28, verses 25 to 29, they are blinded. So, okay, let's go on to the next event. That was it for Israel's events in this area of Acts. Let's go on to Paul arrested till the end of Acts. He goes under arrest here. It's a body of Christ event. He gets arrested and taken into custody. Initially, I think it's for his own benefit, but when you get to Acts 26, we don't have to look at it right now, but when you get to Acts 26 and he's recounting how he was saved and how he got arrested and stuff, he tells the reason being right in here that we're going to be reading. So it's in the next body of Christ event, but let's go through these verses. This is Acts 21, verse 27. And they had challenged Paul to show that he's not against the law, that he thinks that the Jews should still keep the law. So when the 7 days were almost ended, that he was to take a vow in the temple, and he went with some others that were doing it, and they were. It was a 7-day vow, I think. I didn't include the verses in the verse list that are just before this that explain it. If you're interested in that part, go ahead. But what counts for what we're studying here starts in verse 27. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews, which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people. So this isn't the Jews from Israel. This is the ones from up in Asia Minor, actually. It would be Turkey, and what today is Turkey, and the area around Galatia, Cappadocia, in through there. The Jews which were from there, which in fact, I think that's the same area where he was killed in Acts 14, verses 19 and 20, and the Lord raised him up again. And he reports about that in 2 Corinthians. He didn't know if he was in the spirit or in the body. Didn't know whether he had died or not. But he had this revelation during that time. But not this revelation. A revelation. Let's go on with where we are right here now in Acts 21:27. The Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, they stirred up all the people and laid hands on him. Verse 28, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and against the law." And this place, the temple, is what he's talking about. "And further brought Greeks into the temple also." And that was not allowed. No Gentile, Greek, or alien was allowed in the temple. Now, the Greeks were allowed, and I'm not talking about national Greeks. This is Greeks that have a standing as being a Greek by virtue of their belief in blessing Israel to get a blessing from God, Genesis 12:3. But Jesus, you know, in the account in Mark 7:24-30, the Bible calls the woman who was a Syrophoenician by nation, that was her nationality, Syrophoenician, calls her a Greek because she feared the God of Abraham and blessed Israel. Gave Israel honor. It gave it Israel its place of honor as the first, the way to come to God at that time. And she was coming through Israel and through by blessing Israel. That's the place where she says the dogs under the table get to eat the crumbs from the children. Well, the children, it's not Israel's, they're not calling Israel babies. I mean, it's an analogy. not every Israelite is a baby or a child at the table. I mean, Simeon was an old man in the temple when Jesus was first born. So it's an analogy, that's all. He's not calling the woman a dog. It's in the analogy, she's in the place of a dog under the table, taking what is an overflow, what falls off the table, she gets. And she's willing to do that, to take that place. And that's how she got the blessing that her daughter's possession was broken by the Lord. So the Greeks, I'm getting off the topic here, Paul gets arrested because they claimed that he brought Greeks into the temple. Greeks were okay in the synagogues. And you see that over and over. Paul went in the synagogues and taught the Jews and the Greeks, but not in the temple. There was a difference there. The Bible says in Acts 20, there is no difference between the Jews and the Greeks. So at that point, they were coming together, or had come together. The Gentiles that believed Israel was the way to God, and the Jews, and they, you know, it gives the conditions under which there is no difference, that they can all come to God the same way. But now that Paul comes with this new gospel, that's the way they can come. They have to come as a sinner, like Paul did. Paul said he was, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am chief. That means I'm the head. I'm the first one this way that comes as a sinner. You know, they had to keep the law before. They couldn't come as a sinner. They had to come as a law keeper. But these Jews from Asia came and tried to get him in trouble. And they said he brought Greeks into the temple and hath polluted this holy place. Verse 29, for they had seen him before in the city. Seen him before with... Let me get it right. For they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus, an Ephesian. So what's his nationality? He's an Ephesian. And they supposed that Paul had brought him in, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. Well, he hadn't. He wasn't in the temple, but they were trying to make accusations, and they loaded that on top of him. There's a verse somewhere that calls Trophimus a Greek. They're insinuating that he brought the Greek into the temple, the Greek Trophimus, but it says here he's an Ephesian. So that's just another support showing that in the Bible, when they call a person a Greek, they're not saying he's from Greece or that he grew up in Greece or his family was from Greece. This is just a couple hundred years after Alexander the Great, 200 or 300, and his seeking for knowledge had permeated the entire part of the world. They had libraries built all over the place and everything. And a Greek became known as, it was a cultural Greek. Kind of like today you would say, he's a Westerner. He's not meaning he's from Western United States, but he's in the West. He's in the mindset of, you know, England, United States, Canada, Germany, Spain, France, in that mindset, as opposed to being in the Oriental mindset or the Arabian mindset. It's that same kind of a thing for the Greeks. They were people that sought knowledge, and wisdom and knowledge. And there were some that called Paul's message foolishness, some Greeks. But some Greeks not only sought wisdom and knowledge, they sought the wisdom and knowledge of God, and they were the ones that came to the synagogues where the word of God was kept and heard the reading and learned how to come to God by blessing Israel. So that's what is largely, most of the time you see it in the New Testament, it's talking about that type of a person. A Gentile that wants to come to God the way God was dealing with man at that time through Israel, before Israel's fall, during Israel's rise, and you can read about that in what's the word? Isaiah chapter 60, the first seven verses, all about Gentiles coming to God through Israel. But it's not now. I mean, it wasn't at that time. That portion of Scripture is about during the tribulation and the millennium, actually. I think it's more during the millennium when the Gentiles bring their forces into the kingdom. The Lord has already taken over by then. So, Paul gets arrested out of the temple. And let's look at this next Body of Christ event. Acts. Well, we're still in this. Let me finish the reading here. Let's go down to verse 29. For they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus and Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul, drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. In other words, they dragged him out, and as soon as they can get him out and clear his feet out of the way, they slammed the door. You're not coming back in. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came to the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left off beating Paul. So they were beating him up. They were trying to kill him right there in the street or outside the temple. Don't want to do it in the temple. They want to be holy in the temple, but they can murder outside the temple. Next Body of Christ event. Paul reveals when Christ told him that he would be sent to all men. In other words, that would be the temple vision. And we'll see how time goes. I've got a lesson, depending on how much time we have left, about the temple vision that I want to play later. But let's look in Acts 22:17, and we'll read through chapter 22, verse 22, starting in verse 17. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, notice he's not on the Damascus Road anymore, and it's later on, when I was come again, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr, Stephen, was shed, I was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And Paul is reporting this to that group of Jews. Remember what it said earlier? It said they will, verse 18, and saw him saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem. Now this happened back in Acts 18. He's reporting it though, and he's telling them out loud this very thing. Make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. Here he's giving them the testimony of what Christ said to him. And they gave him audience unto this word, and lifted up their voices, and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. Again, they want to kill him. So, the soldiers get it under control, and another body of Christ event happens. Christ reveals to Paul that Paul is going to bear witness in Rome to kings. I'm sure he was probably remembering back to Acts 15 when Ananias came to him on the road to Damascus and said that he would be a witness to the Gentiles, to kings, and to the children of Israel. And he started out with the children of Israel, right there in the synagogue, straightway in the synagogues preaching that Jesus is the Christ, Acts 9:20. And all this time has gone by, and he hasn't yet spoken to kings. So we find in Acts 23:11. Let me move this over, excuse me. Acts 23:11, and the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good courage, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so thou must bear witness also at Rome. And I don't think of Paul as needing confirmation or encouragement, but he was human, and the Lord did that. I mean, it had to have been encouraging, you know, with everybody in the world that he could see within his sight, everybody being against him in that brawl outside the temple. You know, for him to hear from God himself that as you testified of me today, same way you're going to have to do in Rome, confirming that he did right. Body of Christ event now. Look at Acts 26, starting verse 15. This is a very interesting one. A lot of, I would say, misreadings on it going around. So let's listen to what the Bible actually says. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? So Paul is recounting, this is the middle of the account of when he was saved on the Damascus Road, and he's reporting it to King Agrippa. He's before kings here, the first one, before he went to Caesar, but he's before King Agrippa. And he says, after he saw a bright light, he said, Who art thou, Lord? Lord being a term of honor, he didn't have any choice. The light was in his eyes. He didn't know who he was, but he was asking. And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. There's a pledge, promise. Not for us, for Paul. Acts 26:17. Well, it's the middle of a sentence. Let me go back. A minister and a witness of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. So that was back in Acts 9. That was a sending, wasn't it? Now I send thee. Well, who is he sending him to? It says above that, from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I... So he's sending him to the people, that's Israel, and the Gentiles. Doesn't say all the Gentiles, does it? Don't read that into it. The Bible would have said that if it meant it. Deliver. Now, he shows which Gentiles and which people, which Israelites it is. He says, delivering thee from the people and the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. He's sending him to the people and the Gentiles from which he delivers him. Has to deliver him. Well, let's go on. We'll get back to that in a minute. But he sends them to open their eyes, verse 18, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God. Well, if you remember the gospel of God, the identity of Jesus Christ is the light of the world, to turn them from darkness to light, to Jesus Christ, and from the power of Satan unto God, Jesus Christ, to open their eyes, to turn them. There's the change of mind from going after other gods, from going after their own things, turning to God, to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So that has to do with the gospel of God. But then you get to the second part of that verse, and there's a change there. Let me read it from the beginning. To open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, unto God, so that they may, you see that in there? There's a next step. That they may receive forgiveness of sins. It's up to them to receive it. It's offered. It's a free gift. that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Jesus Christ talking. So that's believing that Christ forgave my sins, Christ died for my sins, and I'm sanctified. I have my faith in Jesus Christ that he is saving me. That's the gospel of Christ. You got both gospels in one verse there. They're not named, though. And so, going on, he's reporting this to King Agrippa, and in verse 19 he says, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." That means Paul went to these people that he was sent to. The people and the Gentiles, up in verse 17, two verses earlier. Paul, no, this is years later that he's reporting it to King Agrippa, but he's saying that I went. I was not disobedient. But I showed first unto them at Damascus. What did he show them? He showed them the gospel of God, the first half of that verse 18. And at Jerusalem, and then it says throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles. So to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, coming to God through Israel. And then later on it says to the Gentiles, that they should, what did he tell them? That they should repent, in other words, turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. They should repent, turn to God, do works meet for repentance, and he doesn't say in order to be saved, does he? That's not a formula for salvation. He's telling them what he told them. For these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Well, was he teaching? Did they catch him because he was teaching salvation? At the time here, he was teaching them the gospel of God, all from the Old Testament. All three elements of the gospel of God are in the Old Testament. It's not a mystery that Jesus is going to be the Son of God, that he is going to be the Messiah, and that he is going to rise from the dead. That's all in the Old Testament. For these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me, having therefore, because they went about to kill me, obtained help of God, I continue to this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Now that's not a lie. He's not lying there that that's all he teaches, what was in the Old Testament, because he's talking about from the time they made accusation of him. Let me find here where it says that. For these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me, having therefore obtained help of God. I continue to this day witnessing to both small and great. So it was from the time he never preached salvation. It's that when he was there in Jerusalem and they made accusation, they beat him up outside the temple, remember? And it's from that time on that he just tried to teach them the gospel of God. I don't know that I would be doing that if I was being beat up. But the Lord was with him, I don't. I hope that I would. Anyway, for these causes, the Jews caught me. Where are we? Verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continued unto this day, witnessing to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. So that's an Israel event. That's something that happened to Paul. He was witnessing to the king, as it was said in Acts 9:15, would be part of what the Lord had for him to do. Another body of Christ event, God has given thee all that sail with thee. That's during that shipwreck that followed. Remember, he was sent, he appealed to Caesar, he was on his way to Rome, and let's pick up Acts 27, verse 21. Let me just see how much more we have, if I can do it today. let's keep at it. But after long abstinence, so they're in the middle of this terrible storm, and after they hadn't eaten in a long time, in other words, long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened to me, and not loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss." In other words, this loss has come on us because you left Crete instead of harboring there. Verse 22, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." In other words, ship's going to sink, but we'll be safe. Verse 23, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Isn't that the definition of faith? That's the same thing that we read in Romans 4:20-25 about Abraham. He believed that God would do what he said he would do. That's the faith that's required. Verse 26, "Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island." So he's telling them what's going to happen. Let's go on to another Body of Christ event in Acts 28. Well, let's start off, though, in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 12. Paul gets bitten by a snake when they're on this island and shakes it off, a viper, a poisonous snake. And 2 Corinthians 12:12 says, "Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds." People get mixed up there and they see signs and they say, well, signs are for Israel. Well, the Jew does require a sign. The Jews were no longer receiving an offer of the kingdom. Okay, they had fallen from being eligible to receive the immediate kingdom. They were going to receive it out there in the future, still out there in the future today, but not that at-hand kingdom. So they fell in Acts 7. They diminished on from there, and here we are into Acts 28, just before they're totally blinded and cast away. And lo am I, not God's people. And people say, well, Israel was still God's people up to this point. Actually, Israel as a nation was not. They had fallen back in Acts 7. But individual Jews were being courted by God to be part of the remnant according to the election of grace, coming into the body of Christ by believing Paul's gospel, that Christ died for our sins and rose for our justification. Believing it's all paid for, it's all done, our sins are all gone. Jesus already is our Savior by us believing that Christ did all the work. So they see signs and they think it's body of Christ signs that prove that Israel was still needing signs. No, this was a sign of an apostle. It proved his apostleship to whoever was around. Jew, Gentile, well, that's all there is, I guess. But soon, no matter if you descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob or not, everyone would be a Jew, except the few in the little flock that hadn't died yet, because they had stopped adding to their numbers. They had stopped evangelizing back in Acts 15. So, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. And so go on down to Acts 28:3 now. "And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians..." So he's out there, talking to barbarians, not just to Greeks, not just to Gentiles that loved God and feared God and served him and blessed Israel, These are barbarians. When they saw the venomous, barbarians are in that category the Bible calls aliens from Israel. They're Gentiles that don't have a connection with God by blessing Israel. They're not in the commonwealth of Israel. The commonwealth is wider than the nation. It includes those Gentiles that blessed Israel. And it includes the proselytes that went a step further and got circumcised into Israel, into the olive tree. But when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." So you can see them, you know, behind the front line around the fire there, whispering among themselves. And he shook off the beast into the fire, and he felt no harm. Verse 6, howbeit, they looked, and when he should have swollen up and fallen down dead suddenly, after they looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. Quite flighty, back and forth people. But another, you know, let's look at the signs of an apostle here in Acts 28, verse 7. Another, now this is not, just because it's signs doesn't mean it's Israel again. This is signs of an apostle. It's a body of Christ event. In the same quarters were, this is 28:7, in the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. That's 175 people from the shipwreck to be lodged. I'm assuming that it means all of them. Maybe it just means Paul or Paul and Barnabas. I don't know. courteously, that would be very courteous, being it was stormy weather and they didn't want to have to sleep outside. Verse 8, and it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux. In other words, it wouldn't stop. That's the way I understand it. It kept bleeding, wouldn't heal. To whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. Next body of Christ event, verse 16. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. Down to verse 25, Israel gets blinded here and cast away, and is, lo am I, not God's people anymore. Let's read it. When they agreed not among themselves, they departed after Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should hear. Well, now see, that's a reason for the heart of this people. That's why they're to hear and not understand. They're to see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes have they closed. Lest they should see with their eyes. They're resistive, in other words. And hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted. And I should heal them. Be it known, therefore, unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. Like their reasoning, fleshly reasoning, could make a difference. This comment in verse 28, but just before we close, it's different. I mean, there are three times that it talks about going to the Gentiles. Acts 18:6, Acts 13, somewhere around verse 45, 46, and then here in Acts 28:28. This is the only time that it says it in this way. It's the first time it's said that it's sent to the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. It's a change, because Paul has just read to them Isaiah's casting away curse that's followed by centuries of desolation in the land. This was it. This was the reading of this curse that actually cast them away, that they were blinded from this point on, and will be until Christ returns after the catching up of us, the body of Christ. So, I'm done for today.